You guys can have a seat. It's good to be with you this morning. You may not know this, but I've been here as a pastor at Grace Bible Church for 17 years now. When I first came to Grace as a pastor, I was actually the college pastor. That was about 2 years, and then I was the small groups adult pastor, and then about 12 years ago, we opened this place. I've been the teaching pastor leading here at Southwood for 12 years, and then I looked out last Sunday morning and saw about 95% college students in my audience and realized I had come full circle. So apparently I'm a college pastor again. So lots of college students, and that's very exciting. But as I reflected on that this week, I realized I don't know a lot of you yet. A lot of you are new to Grace Bible Church. I don't really know what your walk with the Lord looks like. I don't know what I need to be doing to help you take the next step in your walk with the Lord. And that hampers my ability to preach to you, because I don't know what the particular issues are and the particular things that you need help with. So we're going to do something a little unusual this morning. We're going to start with a survey. I need to know what you guys need from me. So here's what we're going to do. Pull out your phone. If you just have your, everybody has a phone. Pull out your phone right now. There's these little cards every few seats. It says Southwood Main Survey. It's got a QR code. If you just point the phone photo at that, it will go to the QR code. Many of you are better than me at that. So just take a picture. Go to the link. It is a 10-question survey. I want you to take it right now. It is totally anonymous. We do not collect your name, your phone number, any of that. There's totally anonymous, but it will help me in aggregate to understand who I'm preaching to so I can best serve you all. So please take this right now. If you don't have the little thing next to you or it's not working, you can just literally take a picture up there and scan that QR code. Go to that survey, please, really quick. Take that 10-question survey. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to fill that out. That is going to help me to orient this fall to really serve you guys well. So you got 2 minutes to do that. Right, it sounds like more of you are getting done. Good, good. All right, if for any reason you weren't able to fill it out this morning, if you don't have your phone on you or whatever it might be, you can take this card home with you. Just grab it and take it with you, and please fill it out today. That's really honestly going to be helpful to all of us here as we seek to serve you and help you to follow Jesus in this phase of your life. So really helpful for us. Thank you guys for doing that. Now, I recognize many of you are new to Grace Bible Church, or relatively new, because I have seen so many students who are coming and checking out our church. So I wanted to take this morning to tell you a little bit about who we are. I want you to know what our mission is, what our vision is, what our values are at Grace Bible Church, and a little bit about our history so that you know the church that you're attending. I don't think it's healthy to not know the church that you're at, because we say this often, we're a family. We want to be a family with one another, and you can't be part of a family if you don't know what the family values and the family's history and all of those kinds of things. So I want to orient you a little bit this morning to who we are at Grace Bible Church. I want to start with our mission. And our mission as a church is actually the same as every church on earth. You may not know that, but the mission statement, if you will, of every church on earth is the same because it was given directly by Jesus in a couple really key passages. He made it quite explicit for us. The first passage that Jesus gave us our mission is in Matthew 22. And if you're thinking, you know, maybe I should have a few verses in my Bible that are underlined or like that I memorize, the two I'm about to give you are the top two. These are really the two you should know. So Matthew 22:37 through 40, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So if you ever wondered, like, what does Jesus want me to do above all else? That's your answer. It's really simple. He told you the most important thing out of this whole book, everything here, is that. We call it the greatest commandment. We keep it singular, even though you'll notice Jesus gives two commandments, because you can't really have one without the other. You can't just like pick one of those and run with it. It doesn't work that way. You have to have both. The book of 1 John actually tells us the person who says he loves God but doesn't love his brother is a liar. Okay, so you got to pursue both of these. To love the Lord your God with all of your soul, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind. What does that mean? It means total devotion to God. It means surrendering everything that you are and everything that you have to Jesus. So we as a church, that's a core part of our mission. Our desire is for our whole church and every individual here at the church to surrender everything to Jesus, to give him everything. All our time, all our skills, all our relationships, all our talents, all our money, everything at the feet of Jesus as an act of love. So first and foremost is total devotion to Jesus, and then paired with it is love for your neighbor, and we won't go into it in great detail today. Who's your neighbor? It's anyone you can be a neighbor to. It's a very open-ended thing. So anyone who God puts in front of you that you can be a neighbor to, you are called to love them as you love yourself, meaning you put their needs as high as you put your own. It's about selflessness. It's about humility. It's about service and sacrifice. So our church's first commandment is to love the Lord our God and our neighbor as ourself. That guides everything that we do. And it is ultimately really our hope for our church. Like if you were to ask me, what do I dream about being true of Grace Southwood? It's that this town would know us as a church that loves well. Like that'd be the primary thing. Not the church that sings well or has a pretty building or whatever it might be, but the church that loves well, loves God well, totally devoted to him, and loves the community well, serving, sacrificing, giving to the community. That's my earnest hope, is that we'd love well, because that's what Jesus cares most about. So that's the greatest commandment. And then we have a parallel passage from Jesus called the Great Commission, where Jesus gives us our marching orders in this life. He says in Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." This is Jesus' marching orders. Like if he is our commander, this is his marching orders to us. Like while he's gone, while he's away, this is our task. This is our work. This is our purpose as a church, is to make disciples of all ethnic groups on earth. Now to make disciples, it's about evangelism and discipleship. It's about sharing the gospel, the good news that we talked about last week. This good news about Jesus dying for our sins and rising from the dead so we can have the gift of eternal life for free. It's sharing that good news, and then everyone who accepts it, it's training them, as Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has ever taught us. And so the way that we summarize that as a church, kind of our catchy slogan, if you will, is we help people find and follow Jesus. That is our mission. That is our marching orders. That's our task in the world, is to help people find and follow Jesus. And if you think about it, this little slogan is the answer to the question, why has God left you here? I don't know if you ever thought about it, like, why has God left you here on earth as a believer in Jesus? It's not so that you can worship, because you'll worship better in heaven. It's not so that you can learn how to study this book, because this is going to make a whole lot more sense in heaven. It's not so that you can obey. You're going to obey a whole lot better in heaven. It's not so you can pray. You'll get to talk to God face to face in heaven. Why are you still here? It's this, to help people find and follow Jesus, because in heaven, everyone already knows and follows Jesus. You can't do this job in heaven. You can only do it here. So this is the one reason why God has left you on this planet as long as he has, is so you can help people find and follow Jesus. That's the one thing you can only do now that you can't do better later. So when we think about our church's mission, what is our church about? We're here to help people find and follow Jesus. That's kind of our slogan, but the basic idea is true for all churches. But every church on earth has a unique part to play. And so what is the unique part that Grace Bible Church has to play in this mission of helping people find and follow Jesus? Well, that's carved out by four pillars that have been true in our church for the last 55 years. Since our founding, there's four things that guide us. So this is kind of our identity. If you wanted to know, what is Grace Bible Church about? These four things. Number one, the grace of God. By the grace of God, we mean that we are committed to the absolute freeness of God's blessings. And we've talked about that a lot in the book of Galatians so far. That's like the whole theme of the semester, this idea that we get freedom, true and complete freedom, is an absolutely free gift. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't pay it back. It is just a completely free gift from Jesus himself. All of the good things in our life are a free gift. God wants to bless us in grace. So we are committed to the freeness of grace. We want to proclaim that clearly. We want to tell the whole town about that, the whole world about that, that God's salvation is ours for free. And not only do we want to speak that, but we want to live that. We want to be a church and a people who are radically gracious to the community. All about grace. That we want that to be the focus of everything we do. So we're all about the grace of God. Second, we're about the Word of God. That's why it's Grace Bible Church, the second word there in the name. By the Bible and by our commitment to the Word of God, what we're talking about here is not only that we value the Word of God, hopefully we do, we're a church, but that we want you to value it and know it too. One of the things that's really important to me as a preacher, I really would be sad if when my tenure at Grace comes to an end, I find out that there were people who were followers of Blake at Grace Bible Church. If that's the case, I've failed because I'm not worth following. No, the only thing worth following is this. My hope is that you'll be followers of the book, that you will be students of the book, not students of Blake. Not students of Piper or Chan or Chandler or whatever great preachers there are out there. They're just humans. They're fallible. They're not worth following. This book is. So our goal for every one of you is that you become an expert in this book. You become a student of this book, reading it yourself, observing it yourself, interpreting it yourself, applying it to your own life, that this book is your authority and your guide, not me or any other person. We want everyone here at Grace to know and love and own this book. Okay, so the Word of God, it guides everything that we do. Third pillar here at Grace is this idea of students and families worshiping together. We are what people often call a university family church, meaning that we intentionally seek to mix university students and single and family adults together in worship. That's our goal. For the last 50 years, we've been strategically focused on college students because we believe it's not coincidental that God placed us next to one of the biggest, greatest universities in the world. We think he had a purpose there. And you look at what is God doing among university students. Well, university students are the most flexible to reorient their lives around Jesus and his great commission. They're young, so in a sense, the cement is wet. So it's often during your university years that you're most open to learning and growing in Jesus and passionately following him. University students have energy that we adults can only dream about. You can change the world. You're going to shape tomorrow. You can go everywhere. You are our strategic focus because we believe that if we can raise up tens of thousands of mature disciples among A&M and Blend students, you will change the world. However, we know that we can only do that if we have a strong foundation of adults here at the church who are following Jesus, who love the Lord, who can mentor college students, who can bless college students, who are raising healthy families and great kids. We must have students and families together. That is the magic of what we're trying to do at Grace Bible Church. We want to be a place where adults and families, both single and families, come together and bless college students so that we as a church can send out a surplus of leaders for the church worldwide. Okay, so that's the idea. We're strategically focused on both students and families worshiping together. And then our fourth pillar is world missions. Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations, meaning all ethnic groups, and that's not finished yet. So we believe we have to keep working on that. It's not enough for us to just be witnesses in Bryan College Station. We need to be witnesses around the world. So missions has always been a big part of Grace Bible Church. Actually, we as a church, back about, it was a little over 50 years ago, we actually started supporting 4 missionaries on the field before we could pay our one pastor. So we sacrificed his salary to, and I say we, I wasn't born yet, but they sacrificed his salary to be able to send missionaries, and that's always been true. We sacrificially give to missionaries. We as a church currently support about 100 missionaries here and abroad, around the world, who are sharing Jesus with the nations because we believe that that's God's heart for our church. So as we have pursued these 4 pillars, God has blessed us beyond what anyone could have ever expected. So let me tell you a little of our story, a little of our history here at Grace Bible Church. Grace Bible began in 1965 with 10 families over in Bryan, not far from Villa Maria Road. That's where we started. Very small little Bible church. In 1974, we moved to 701 Anderson. That's the old college building over on Anderson Street. Moved there to be closer to the students. That was the explicit goal. We wanted more students coming so we could mix students and families together. In 1995, we outgrew the building at 701 Anderson, so we moved to 700 Anderson. That's the big green roof building. So we opened that in 1995, and it immediately filled. We were unprepared for how much it would grow. That was around the time that I was coming here to Grace Bible Church, and I remember it got so bad, like so full over at the Green Roof building, that we started to call it the Church of the Tenacious, because you had to want it. Like, you had to want to go to Grace Bible Church on a Sunday morning, because you were going to park a mile away and you were going to walk in the heat and you might get a seat or you might sit on the floor, and it was a pain. And because of that, the elders were thinking, like, what can we do next? How do we grow this church? And initially, like most churches, they were thinking, well, we'll sell this building and move to some big lot out on the highway and build a big building. And so they pursued that and studied that. And every time they moved that direction, God would close the door. And it just wasn't working, wasn't working, wasn't working. And that's because God had a new vision in store for Grace Bible Church, and that's multi-site. God wanted us to become, instead of one big box where everybody comes, he wanted us to become one church in many locations. And so God led us in this new direction of multiplication. We would multiply campuses, and the first new campus is the one you're at, Southwood. So 12 years ago, we were blessed to be able to launch Southwood, and it filled instantly. If you were here, it was very quickly. Within a couple years, we were filled up. So God led us to the next campus, which was actually not Creekside. It was Mandarin. You may not know, but we have a Mandarin-speaking Chinese church campus that meets. This is campus number 3, but all the campuses were filling. So then we launched Creekside back in 5 years ago, 2015, in Pebble Creek Elementary, and so south part of town, and Creekside quickly filled up. And so we kept praying about what is God calling us to do. And so a couple years ago, if you've been here for a couple years, a little over a couple years ago now, we launched the Every Knee Initiative. And the idea of the Every Knee Initiative is we're sure God's not done yet with what he wants to do in and through Grace Bible Church. We feel like it's time for us to step up and really lean into this vision that God has for our church. So the Every Knee Initiative, if you're wondering where does that terminology come from, every knee, it's from Isaiah, very famous passage in Isaiah 45. God says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance." The idea is God is saying there's a day coming when everyone on earth will bow before him. That day hasn't happened yet, and so we have work to do. If we're going to be part of this, like, we have a lot of work to do. And so we challenged each other, kind of as a church, to give sacrificially, and you guys did. Today, we're actually celebrating the conclusion of every knee. So this is the first you're hearing about it. You're probably like, what's going on? Well, it's done. We've completed it, and we wanted to celebrate it with you guys. So over the last 2 years, you guys gave generously. You gave $19 million to the Every Knee Initiative, which for a little church in a country town, that's a lot of money. That's about $6 million more than would have typically come in if we wouldn't have had this Every Knee Initiative. And we wanted to let you know where the money was going, since many of you gave so sacrificially to this. Of that $19 million, a little over $12 went to what we called Every Day, which is just, that's our operating budget for the last 2 years to do all the ministry God has called us to do. And so that allowed us to continue to grow and minister and care for people. The second section right below Every Day is the Creekside Fund. So a little over $3 million went towards building a home for the Creekside campus, which was actually God's perfect timing. I don't know if you guys knew this, but because of COVID, school districts don't allow churches in anymore, and they were meeting in a church. So if we would not have been building a home for them, Creekside would die. But it didn't, because God provided the perfect timing, and they moved in to their new building like 3 weeks ago. So they're still finishing up some little details, but Creekside has been built. Really excited about that. We'll continue to be paying that down over the coming years. Your support also allowed us to buy the next campus. So you'll notice Bryan campus. We were surprised that God moved faster than we expected. We thought it'd be a few years before we figured out what the next campus was. God had other ideas and dropped this property in our lap. It's out in the new Bryan Midtown development, and we were able to purchase it last year. So that was about $240,000 of what you gave went as a down payment to purchase that. We'll keep paying that off. We also, I don't know if you guys were all paying attention to this, but we hired the guy who's going to teach there just a couple weeks ago. His name is Carlos Zazuda, and he speaks Spanish, and he is actually going to launch in about a year a new campus there that will be multi-ethnic and will have both Spanish-speaking services and English-speaking services. So we're really excited. He's going to take this coming year to build up his leadership team, and we're going to challenge people who are interested in that ministry, so a more directly multi-ethnic ministry, especially a Spanish ministry, to Bryan should join him. That's going to be some of you. I want you to know you have more than our blessing. You have our strong encouragement that if you feel drawn to minister in Bryan or to minister among kind of a Hispanic context, you should go. You should join Carlos's team and serve there. It's going to be an amazing opportunity. So Bryan Midtown campus has been purchased, and we'll be building that up. So we are now a five-campus church. I don't know if you knew that. There's five distinct Grace Bible churches. One is purely in Mandarin. One will be both Hispanic and English. And you've got the three that are predominantly English campuses. So we are a large church, but we still don't believe that God is done with us yet. So we continue to build. Because of your giving, we have that Every Nation Fund, $50,000. That was the funding that allowed us to launch what we're calling a church planter training initiative or institute. So we've trained our first three pastors who've gone through that. Our goal is to train pastors to be church planters and send them out, because we think there's a lot more need for church planting. And then the final piece of the pie, $3 million in cash reserves, that's basically saved up so that we're ready to pull the trigger immediately as God opens new doors. So we are looking actively for new places to plant churches in the U.S. We're looking at college towns. Last I heard, they're looking at SEC college towns, because it's kind of a similar environment. So where do churches need to be planted there? And then we're looking internationally for places to plant churches, particularly in college cities around the world, because that's kind of the ministry that we're particularly good at. So we are hoping to continue planting churches and growing in the coming years. Now, that's a lot of data and a lot of numbers and a lot of money sitting there on the board. Before we get all into that, before we kind of lose ourselves in all those numbers, we should step back for a moment and we should ask the most important question, which is why? Why do all of this? Why give literally tens of millions of dollars to this? And why give millions of man hours, which people have at Grace Bible Church given millions of man hours over the last 55 years to this mission, to this vision? Why? Well, we do it because we believe Jesus is worth it. At the end of the day, if you really want to understand someone, you need to know the why. What motivates them? What motivates this church? If you want this church to be your home, what is it that motivates and pushes us? And ultimately, is the belief that Jesus is worth everything we have to give. So whether you're talking about money, time, talents, relationships. He's worth it all. He's worth absolutely everything that we could give. And you see that really clearly in another passage that quite famous, quite significant. It's Philippians 2, 5 through 11, a good one to memorize, really beautiful passage. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave. By looking like other men and by sharing in human nature, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's something that you may not realize. In every other major religion on earth, the founder or founders of that religion receive benefit from it during their lifetime. So if you just think about some of the other religions that are out there, Judaism, for example, it was really built in Jesus' day and led in Jesus' day by the Pharisees, who were revered and honored with great wealth for leading Judaism. You have Islam. Well, Muhammad founded Islam, and then he became a great leader with a great army and great wealth. We think about Hinduism. It was founded by Brahmin priests who were revered as the highest caste in society, the most honored people in their culture. Or Buddhism. Buddha was honored by kings during his lifetime. All of the founders of other religions received great reward for what they started, except Jesus, who gave everything. So with Jesus, the founder of our religion, he gave up heaven, if we're right. He gave up heaven and the beauty and bliss of it to become a human, born in a stable, born in filth, born in poverty, and born in shame. May not have put that together, but Mary wasn't married when she got pregnant. So in the view of culture, this was an illegitimate child. So he's born in filth and shame, and he grows up working with his hands as a humble carpenter, never wealthy, never has much stuff, never praised by society. Then after all those years of being a carpenter, he begins his ministry, and in his ministry, rather than identifying with the rich and wealthy, he rebukes the rich and wealthy and identifies with the poor and the humble and the oppressed. And he lifts up those who society laughed at and who society forgot about and neglected and wouldn't even look at. And when you look at Jesus towards the end of his life, as the soldiers fight over his garments, we're told that's all he had. He literally had no home, no possession. He had no furniture. He was a carpenter. No furniture, nothing but the clothes on his back. And then greatest of all, he gave his own life. He died in a torturous way for us. In this life, Jesus got nothing. He gave everything, and he did it out of love for us. And so we look at that exchange that Jesus made, and we say, how can we, who serve a creator who gave up everything for us, not give him everything in return? This is just simple logic. How can you not offer a God like that everything? So that is our ambition. As Paul says, we make it our ambition to be pleasing to the Lord in every way. It is our goal to please Jesus because he's worthy of it. Because he who is our creator gave up everything for us. And so we live for the day when we and the rest of the universe will praise Jesus for how worthy he is. The book of Revelation talks about that. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne," that's God the Father, "and to the Lamb who is Jesus, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." To which we say amen. Yes, he is the one and only one who is worthy. And so we give him everything. We, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Creator, who chose to be slain for us, he's worth all that money. He's worth all our time. He's worth so much more. And so if you are ready to join Grace in following Jesus and helping others find and follow Jesus, it is our hope that we can help you to love Jesus with everything you have. It is our hope that we can help you love your neighbor as yourself. It is our hope to train you to make disciples of others here and around the world. That's what we want to do. We want to help you get plugged into the mission and values of this place. So to that end, in a moment, Julie White with our adult ministry and Victoria Lorenz with our college ministry are going to come up and walk you through some very simple next steps of how you can get plugged in to the mission and vision of Grace Bible Church this semester. Before they do that, I want to show you a short video about all that God has done over the last 2 years through Every Knee.